Last week, I got to preach 2 weeks in a row. I'm pretty excited about that. Can continue on with something, you know? Like, that's great. So last week, we talked about covenant. We were in John 5. We were talking about covenant and talking about promises and, you know, how Israel missed the covenant, you know? How many years after the covenant was given until, you know, Israel, when Jesus showed up, Israel was sick, right? Israel wasn't walking in the goodness of God. Israel wasn't, you know, they were a conquered nation. They were everything opposite of what the covenant of God, what his covenant had established. And so my point was we need to know our covenant, right? We need to know our promises. So this week, I would like to get into some promises. And I would like to, you know, we need to know what we have. If you don't know what you have, how can you be effective? Right? If I didn't know I could be redeemed and set free from depression, I would still be in depression. Right? That's right. And you can take that and apply it to anything in anybody's life. Right? But there had to be, and so we're going to be going out of 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 16 and then come back up to the top. Because I feel like verse 16 and down, you know, lays the foundation for our covenant and lays the foundation for our promises. So if you want 2 Peter chapter 1, singing. I got to work it out, sorry. So let's start in verse 16. We're going to go down through 21. So this is Peter speaking. For we have not followed cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They saw it. All right? They saw it. They believed it. But we can have that same thing in us, right? Because we have spiritual vision here. We don't have to just see with our eyes. You know, it's not just if I can see it, I'll believe it. That's not how it works. They saw it. They believed it in their heart. They had faith that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when a voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we ourselves heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have a more reliable word of prophecy, which you would do well to follow. Do well to follow, right? This is important stuff. This is going to change your life. Where was I? There we go. That you would do well to follow, as to a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy at any time was produced by the will of man, but holy men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Word of God is the Word of God. And if we try to write it off, if we try to make excuses, if doubt and unbelief start to come in, you automatically start nullifying the Word of God. You start losing its power because you have to believe its truth, right? John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said it. If Jesus said it, it's good enough for me. But we have to have this established in our hearts. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter if it always works for you. Unfortunately, it doesn't matter if you always understand it. Because truth is truth. There's been plenty of things that I don't know everything. Nobody has ever known anything because the Word of God is limitless. It is boundless. You cannot encapsulate it. We're going to spend eternity discovering what the Word of God has for us. We are going to spend eternity finding out about his goodness, his mercy, his love, everything else that goes along with it. But just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's not truth. Right? Plain and simple. Just because it didn't work for me that one time doesn't mean it doesn't work. Right? I mean, we can be so, what's the word? Soft. We can be so soft. Right? Sometimes you just got to fight through things. Sometimes you just got to keep going forward because you're standing on the fact that his word is truth. It doesn't matter how I feel right now. It doesn't matter how I feel because I believe his word is truth, so I'm going to stand on his truth and keep going. And if I don't see it in this life, I'm going to see it in eternity. All right? Like, man, but we can see things in this life. We can experience the goodness of God. We can experience the provision of God. We can walk in his promises because his word says we can. Yeah. Yeah. We can. And it's up to us to choose it. It was up to me to choose it. It was up to me to choose that his word said I could get out of depression. I could not be stressed out all the time. I could not have my mind going a million different places. But I had to believe it was true. And then I had to renew my mind, right? To the word, to the truth of the word. So that's the foundation. That has to be our heart. It has to be in our heart that your word is true. No matter what the world says, no matter what my mind says, no matter what my body's telling me, your word is truth, right? So let's go back to the top. So verse 1. And this is some awesome, awesome stuff. Not that everything in the Bible isn't awesome, but this is stuff that truly has changed my perspective. This is stuff that has taken me from wondering and constantly asking questions. And it's not bad to ask questions, but once I started getting a revelation of this, a revelation of who I was, who I am, started to grow and started to build in me. So let's start. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Right there, you could sit for a while. I think it's interesting that he said a servant first and then apostle, right? But we don't have time for that. To those who have received a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So grace and peace be multiplied through what? Knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge of the word. Knowledge of who he is. Because when we grow in knowledge, we grow in relationship. And when I grow in relationship, I can hear. I can see, I can understand, right? Even if it doesn't always make sense, I can have a peace. Like that was such a big revelation for me of peace. In John 14, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, you know? My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That's the Holy Spirit in us, right? That's his role. That's one of his jobs. That's one of his fruits. Love, joy, peace. You know, that revelation of, I have that peace in me. I just need to walk in it, right? That peace is inside me because I've received the Holy Spirit. I have these things. We all have these things. What are we choosing to do with these things? So, verse 3, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. His divine power is given to us all things. What an amazing statement. All things. By which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. He just didn't give us some promises. He gave us exceedingly great. Because that's what God does. It's not just the bare minimum. It's usually so much you don't even know what to do with it. You know, it's usually to the point where, God, you got to slow down a little bit because I just can't comprehend, right? That's just what, because he loves you. He loves us. He wants us to walk in this. He wants us to experience this. He has given us exceedingly great and precious promises so that through these things you might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's a lot there. But think about it. So, my purpose, my God's will and plan for my life is different than yours. And I've said this before, I have a tailor-made plan for my life. You have a tailored-made plan for your life. Your all things looks different than my all things. So that's why we can't ever compare ourselves to other people. God, I just wish I was more like him. God, why can't I be more like these people? Why can't I have what he has? Why can't I, you know, why can't I flow as eloquently? Why do I have to look at notes? You know, there's all these really funny things we can start going down. But my plan, my design is different than yours. So my all things are different than your all things. So we have to keep that in mind. But it's really cool when you start seeing your all things start to develop. It's really cool when you start walking down and things of this world start crashing in and it's like, man, okay, I'm going to walk in peace. Because that's what he gave me. That was one of his promises to me. I get to walk in peace through this. You know, not that there's not some action that needs to be taken, but through it all, I can have peace. Because I have Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what this world throws at us. We have Jesus Christ. And if this ended right now, we have Jesus Christ. This is a no-lose situation. It really is. And not that I'm looking to die. Don't get me. You know, like, thankfully, I see things. God has shown me things. I'm not there yet. I got plenty to do. There's more to be done. This isn't over. You know, we got lots of life to live. I need to raise godly kids. I need to get people saved. I need to show people the truth of the gospel. We got work to do. This is not over. But if it did end, man, I'm there. Praise God. You know, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. Jeremiah. So we're talking about plans. We're talking about purposes. We're talking about promises. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm just going to go through some verses quickly. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I like the King James at the end says an expected end. Right? He has a plan, and that plan doesn't involve constantly struggling. That plan doesn't involve constantly lacking. Right? His plan is peace. And as we go on here, so Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I get that he's talking to Jeremiah here, but he formed each and every one of us. He knows you. He has a specific plan for you, tailor-made for you, just like he did for Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nations. What are you called to do? Because he knew you before you were in the mother's womb. That's amazing. That's the kind of stuff you just meditate on for a little while and it blows your mind. He knew you before any of this happened. He knew you before the earth existed, because the earth exists for us. The earth is here to meet our needs, right? We were his first thought. And then it was, well, I got to create something for them. I got to meet their needs. They need to... that kind of stuff gets me fired up. So he has a plan for you. He knew you. Tailor-made. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Really simple verses, but just listen. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God has a plan. God has a purpose. But if you're not there yet, you can just turn to this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God for your life. I mean, right there. Start there. If you don't know anything else that you're supposed to do, if you have zero direction for your life, start there. Because he gave that one to you. Right? Start there. You know, even when we don't understand it, we can break it down to something as simple as these verses. But how do you pray always? I asked that question, I did. And it was amazing. The more I sought, the more I renewed my mind, the more it became a possibility. You know, I don't have to think about all the garbage going on in the world right now. I can just pray. I can pray. You know? And praying isn't always asking for things. Praying is just talking with God. Praying is relationship. Speaking in tongues, whatever it is, that's where our focus is, because that's where life came into me. You know, it's a dividing line. I think on the world, it's death. I think on Christ, it's life. And we can do it. You know, it seems in my natural state, it seemed very impossible, but it's not impossible. Because God wouldn't tell us and give these promises if they were impossible. Because he is not an unjust God. He is a just God. He loves you. He wants all of this for us. What are we choosing? What am I choosing to focus my life on? You know, for me, and I've said it before, it was TV. I had to give up some TV. You know, not that I'm begging on TV. But for me, that was what was consuming most of my time, just sitting down and doing nothing. You know, if you sit down and do nothing, nothing is nothing. There's no multiplication there. Right? Zero is zero. Right? So there was no growth there. And I always wondered, and you know, in the silly state I was in, why am I not experiencing anything? Why am I not growing? What's wrong with me? There's got to be something wrong with me. Well, what was I meditating on? What was I giving my time to? Right? Everything I was giving my time to was bringing death to my life. You don't have to die to die. The depression I was going through was death, because it sucked the life out of me. It made me dislike people. It made me dislike myself. It made me just not want to be a good person. It made me just want to curl up into a ball and just be. You know, leave me alone. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to. And I could put on a good face when I went out in public. You know, you smile and everything's good. And then you leave. And it's just back to that, ugh. That's not what life is. That's not life. That is not life. So verse 4, you know, through these promises, we partake of his divine nature and escape. So through these promises, we escape, but we have to partake them. We have to receive them. We have to grab hold of them. Everything's there for us. Grab hold of it. And it's as simple as saying, yes, Lord, I believe. Right? I mean, it's that simple. And we escape what? Corruption that comes through lust. Lust, what's lust? You know, lust is usually pushed off to the sensual side of things, but lust, all lust is a strong desire or a longing for something. That's all lust is. So lust can take over any area of our life. You know, I have a strong desire to redo an old truck. Like, I have a strong desire to do this. But it can't take up all of my time. It can't, you know, it's a silly, you know, comparison. But my point is, it can't be taking all of our focus. Our focus needs to be on Christ. Like, okay, here's a legitimate one. Music. I love music. I still love music. I don't get to be a part of music as much as I used to, but I drummed for 20 years. I had a band. We rocked Hastings. Like, we were a big deal in Hastings. But, like, that was my life. That was my life. Music, 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 music. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but my life, my music was not bringing glory to God. I wasn't denouncing God. I wasn't, you know, but my lyrics were always, you know, just where I was and woe is me and why me and, you know, what secular music is. You know, it's just what it was. And it never got me anywhere, and it never helped me, and it never brought peace, and, you know, it never did anything for me, but it consumed all my time. That's all I think about. I was writing music. I was good at writing lyrics. So I, you know, had plenty of songs to sing. Some of them were snappy. Some of them weren't. You know, we tried. But that was just not what God had for me. And the funny thing is, I had to step away from music to start walking in what God's plan truly was for my life. Music got me to a point, but music isn't my forever, right? I have a different call. I have a different purpose. Not that I can't go bang on the drums. You know, that's necessary sometimes. But that's not who I am, right? That's not my call. I'm growing and I'm moving forward. You know, so, you know, lust isn't just the nasty things, right? Lust is really just what's consuming your time. What are you allowing to consume your time? What are you allowing to draw the focus off of what we should be focusing on? And that's Jesus Christ. So we're going to get into some promises here. And this list is by no means comprehensive. There's a lot of promises in the Word of God. A lot. So a lot of these are just ones that have affected my life, you know, and ones that have changed my life. But they're ones that I sought out and found, you know. So to start with, we're going to go with 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. His promises are yes and amen. If there's a promise given, it's yes and amen. Just like his word is truth, his word is life, his promises are yes and amen. But we have to believe it. It's not some of your promises are yes and amen, because those promises work for me. It can't be that. It's all of your promises. Because his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And there's the dividing line that pertain to life and godliness. When I was walking in my other life, there was nothing godly or divine about it. You know, I can't expect God's blessing when I'm walking like a heathen, when I've turned my back on him, when I am not seeking him. You know, there's just, you know, and that's... And that's where funny doctrines can come in. Well, you know, if it's just your will, it'll happen. I don't believe that. Because I believe his will is yes and amen. But I have to walk in it. I have to believe it. I have to say, yes, Lord, I believe that's true in my life. And no matter what I feel and no matter what I think, I'm walking that out. I'm going for it. Because it's changing my life. It's truly changing my life. The Word of God and relationship is changing my life, and it's amazing. It's amazing. It's absolutely wonderful to know that you have a purpose. Like I've told people multiple times, 40 has been the best year of my life. The best year of my life. Because God's showing me things. God's working in me. God is working in my family. I don't struggle. A job came across that we don't struggle with finances anymore. I was so sick of living paycheck to paycheck, I wanted to vomit. I just can't stand it. I hate poverty. I hate it because it just gets you nowhere. Now, I'm not saying I have to be a millionaire, but I'm saying when I walk in the purpose of God for my life, He's going to provide. And it's going to be more than enough because I want to bless others. It's in my heart. I was sent to school. I want to send somebody to school. I want to send multiple people to school. I want to bless people where they need to be blessed. I don't want to just say, be filled. Go your way. Jesus loves you. You know, I know you could use a jacket right now, but hey, Jesus still loves you. Let that warm you. You know, like that's not who I want to be. That's not what we should want to be, right? And when I was walking in that poverty mentality, it was just, oh, I got enough. I'm fine. I got what I need. Is that what Jesus did? Well, I got what I need. No. No. He wants all. He desires all to come to repentance. He desires all to experience Him and to experience relationship. But it's a choice. It's always a choice. And we either start choosing it or we just keep existing. You know? And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you've accepted Jesus Christ, you believe He's Lord and Savior, you believe He came, died, and rose again, you're going to heaven. You are. You are. But I believe that there is more to life than just getting there. Right? There's more to this life than saying, okay, I'm saved, I'm done. That's not where it ends. That's the beginning. Right? That's the starting point. Because then we can keep walking in this life, and then we can keep affecting people, and then we can change people's lives like my life was changed. That's the great thing about God. I have something to say now. I have something to say because He changed my life. And you can debate me. I'm not the best debater. I'm not. I don't like debates because I usually lose. But it doesn't matter because I know what's in here. I think I said it last week. Know your testimony. Because you know what? Yeah, I don't know every scripture and verse. I got to look things up. But I sure know what God has done in my life and what He's continuing to do in my life. So you may have your great points, but I have God. And I have God. I have what He's doing in me. And that's just, I mean, you can't refute that. Nobody can refute your testimony. You know? We just got to make sure we know our testimony so we don't get talked out of it. I mean, for real. People are going to try. You know? That's why, I mean, there's atheists that know the Bible. Because they want to debate. Right? They want to debate. They want to try to prove to you that you're wrong. But it's not just head knowledge, and that's where they're missing it. It's not head knowledge. It's I have the Spirit inside of me leading and guiding me. I have Jesus Christ who came and died for me. And I have all these promises, and I can tell you I was delivered from depression. I was delivered from stress. I was delivered from thinking that I was the most worthless human being alive. I was delivered from thinking that everything I do fails. I was delivered from thinking that I'm just going to be in poverty the rest of my life. I was delivered from thinking that this life is worthless. There is zero meaning to this life. He delivered me from that. And I don't care how much you argue with me, you can't change that. You can't change the fact that my life has been changed by Jesus Christ. You cannot. I don't care what you say, you cannot convince me otherwise. You cannot convince me that the promises of God are not true. You cannot convince me that Jesus Christ is not true. You cannot convince me that the Holy Spirit inside of me, working and moving in me, is not real. You cannot do it. I don't care who you are. You cannot do it. I don't care how many bullet points you have. You cannot do it because that's what he's done for me. And that's the power of a testimony, right? I may not be able to keep up with you, but I can just tell you what God's done for me, right? You know, I appreciate people who debate, you know, because there's some good ones out there. It really makes me uncomfortable, though. I have a hard time watching people debate. I don't know if it's our good little Scandinavian background where we're just very mild and timid and, you know, I don't want to argue, you know. So when I see other people doing it, I get all tense and, oh, but he's making a good point. You know, like, that's not me. And that is some people's call, man. Some people are called to debate. Some people just have that gift and ability, and good on them. It's not mine. Man, I got so much time. I thought I was going to run out of time today. I think we're going to get through it. Yes. So, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Amen. So what are you seeking? Are you seeking your own glory or are you seeking the glory of God? Because when we're seeking the glory of God, here comes the promises. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what I can manufacture. It's not about, yep, I can write things. I can write pretty well and I can be pretty persuasive. That's not what it's about. It's about his promises, our yes and amen. And when I'm walking in his promises, my thinking starts to, and that's the biggest thing, my thinking starts to align with his thinking, right? All of a sudden it's like, no, I don't really need that. I could use this. You know, it's, I really want that truck. I don't know that I necessarily need it. But God knows the desires of my heart, and if I can fit it in, we're going to fit it in. By golly, and I'm going to be cruising in a sweet truck. You know, silly, but what is our focus? My focus is Jesus Christ. Yes, I can falter. We can all falter. But it's about getting back up and saying, nope, that's the path. That's the path. That has to be the path. You know, every once in a while I roll down into the ditch and I get back up and I get back on track. You know, I'm not perfect. None of us are. But thank God for redemption, right? I've been redeemed. No matter how much I've messed up, I'm still redeemed. He still paid for me. No matter how much I keep messing up, because I still mess up. Thank God. I believe those times are getting fewer and fewer. Right? Because that's what relationship is. I'm growing, I'm growing, I'm growing, and I'm walking with him, and I'm talking with him. The God of this world speaks to you. The God of this world, of the universe, the Lord of lords, the King of kings speaks to you. That's so awesome, I can't even take it. I mean, just, you could, you know, I could probably stop there. I mean, that's, meditate on this stuff. Meditate on this stuff. Be led by this stuff, right? Because man, the benefits that come from it so outweigh anything the world, anything stress, anything that's going on right now can give you. There's nothing that the world can do to you that can equal what Jesus Christ has done. There is nothing. Not a single thing. So, promises. So a really important one for me was the Holy Spirit and power. So, you know, I'll just give a couple of verses here. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, and this is Jesus speaking, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That's a promise. And think about that. I just think that's, I love that verse because it's so amazing. Jesus said, I have to go. But when I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I mean, it just shows you the importance of the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus, why couldn't you have just stayed? That wasn't the plan, for one. And Jesus was confined to a body, right? He couldn't be everywhere. He couldn't do, you know. The Holy Spirit is spirit. And he's in you. And he's working in you. And like, to me, that was such a huge promise. Understanding it, because I was filled with the Holy Spirit as a young kid, but I turned my back on him. I just, through lack of understanding, through lack of, I mean, just circumstances that I got myself into. But the more I think about it, the more I know he never left me. Because I was in some self-imposed sticky situations, and he still spoke to me. He still spoke to me. He was trying to help me because he's the helper. He was trying to lead me because that's his job, right? I wasn't listening, of course, but he never left me, ever. And when I had my change, when I had my switch flicked, it was a really nasty, I mean, I was in some nasty places and he was there. He was there. That's so awesome. Because he loves us. He wants to see us succeed. So, number two, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. I couldn't wrap my head around that in my old state. But thank God I kept seeking it. All right, Lord, how do I be anxious for nothing? How do I not let the things of this world affect me to the point where, you know, my mood changes and Heather would get mad at me when I listened to talk radio on the way home because I'd come home in a bad mood. You know, like, I'd just be feisty and ready to go, you know, and just ticked off and you got to stop listening to that stuff. You know, I mean, but it's true. What am I filling myself with? What are we filling ourselves with? Are we filling ourselves with the Word of God? Because when I fill myself with the Word of God, when anxiety tries to come, no, I'm anxious for nothing. I'm anxious for nothing. And it's verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses understanding. We can't even grasp it. It surpasses what we're able to comprehend, but yet it's still given. It's still given. That's why I say we can't base any of this off of what we understand and what we don't understand. Because I can't understand the peace of God which surpasses all. Right? But it's still there. It's still available, even though I don't understand it. So we have to move past this, well, if I understand it, then I'll get it. No, understand that it's in you and just walk in it. Understand that when you're walking in relationship, it's just going to come. It's a byproduct of relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's a byproduct of being led by the Holy Spirit. It's a byproduct of understanding what God did for us. That's what, you know, most of the time, I don't even realize I'm changing, right? Until a situation comes. We had a situation yesterday. It could have shook me. I could have got real upset. I could have got ticked. I could have let it ruin my day. I could have, you know, and it was over paint. Right? It was over paint. But you know what? I'm growing. I'm not going to lie, I got quiet for a little while. But I think quiet is better than yelling and screaming. So I got quiet for about 20 minutes. Then I came out of it, you know. But that's how you know. That's how I know, anyways, is when these situations arise, I start to handle them differently than I used to. So number three, you are loved. John 16:27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. And once again, I know he's talking to the disciples here, but do you love him? Do you believe? God the Father himself loves you. We can take these principles. We can take these promises and we can apply them. We can apply them because I know they were men just like I am. And that's what we always said. These guys were just like we are. I mean, look at all the failures, but God still chose them, right? God still chose Peter, even though he knew he was going to deny him. And look what Peter turned into. Look what came out of Peter. I love the saying, God has never had anyone qualified working for him yet. I love it because it helps. It really helps me sometimes. It's about our hearts. My heart is after him. When our hearts are after him, it just works. I can't always explain it. I can't always put it to words, but it works. Because he's just that good. But you have to believe that he loves you. Right? How can I receive from anybody that I don't believe loves me? Especially what the Bible talks about. Especially the things we're dealing with in here. How many people think that God hates them? I did. I thought I screwed up so bad that God hated me. And I know I'm not the only one. I know it. But that's not the truth. Whether I believed it or not, that's not the truth. Whether I understood it or not, that's not the truth. God loves us. He cares for us. Number four, he has overcome. So you'll notice a lot of these are in John. I really like John. And there's a lot more outside of John. So, you know, but I'm just showing you, like in a few chapters here, you can just pull these out. You know? But I had to know they were in there. If I never cracked the Bible, I don't know it's in there. You know? And once again, you don't have to do anything. But the fruit of your life is going to reflect it. I just have much different expectations now for my life. I actually have expectations for my life. That's a good thing, you know? Yeah. All right. So, he has overcome. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. So this is Jesus talking to the disciples. He's about to go to the cross. He's letting them know he's leaving them. He's letting them know that he's giving the Holy Spirit to them to help lead them and guide them as they walk out the rest of this life. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Get over it. Stop being so soft. We got to kind of buck up here a little bit. It's going to happen. It has happened, I'm sure, to some of us. I mean, look at what's going on around the world. But, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the promise. I have overcome. Stand on the promise of I have overcome. No matter how difficult it gets, he has overcome. Because this life is a speck. This life is a flash. This life is a blink of an eye. We can't base eternity off of what's happening right now. I look at guys like Paul. He spent most of his adult life in prison. But look at what he wrote. Look at the revelation he got. Look at what God put in him. Because he understood it's not just about now. We can affect now. We can help change now for the better. But it's not just about now. It's about forever. How many people can we get to forever with Jesus? How many people can we bring along because of the goodness of God, because of the goodness of the gospel? How many more people can we bring? Because it breaks my heart to think about people going to hell. It should break all of our hearts to think about people going to hell. But we have the truth. We have what's better. We have the gospel. Remain in him and bear fruit. Number 5, John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Remain with him. Because without him it's rough. It's really rough. Yeah, you can do things, but it's nothing that's worthwhile. Right? I was still living when I wasn't walking with Jesus, but there was zero impact on my life. Unfortunately, there was only negative impact probably on other people's lives. So I was still living in a sense. But when we step into relationship and we step into abiding with him and letting him lead and letting him guide, thank God, relationships are coming back. You know, it's not always over. Not everything I did in the past is, what's the word? God can fix things, right? God can change people's hearts. God can do all these things. And the worst thing I can do is live in guilt about the past. Right? Because that's not going to change anything. But I have a promise. If I abide with him, if I remain in him, it's going to work. Because he tells you, you can't really do anything without me anyways. That's worthwhile. I want to live a life that's worthwhile. I want to live a life that impacts people. That was not always my heart. I wanted to be very anonymous before. But it's amazing what God can do. It really is. I could never see myself doing anything like this. But it wasn't about what I can see. It's about what the Spirit is putting in me. It's about what the Spirit is showing me. And man, that gets you excited. It can be terrifying, but it's pretty exciting. So, number 6, let not your heart be troubled. John 14:1. Again, it's very simple. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe. Believe that his word is truth. Believe that you cannot let your heart be troubled. You have to believe it. But if you say, but what about this? And what about this? And look at what's going on in the world. I mean, don't I have to feel something? Don't I have to, you know? Well, you can, or you could just feel peace. Or you could just walk in the goodness of God. Or you could just be led by the Spirit that says, hey, this is coming, but we're going this way. We're doing this. And when we're led by the Spirit and when the purpose of God is flowing through us, it does not matter. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So let not your heart be troubled. Number 7, this is a big one. So in these verses, we have salvation, We have protection. We have power. So Mark 16:16 through 18. He who believes in me, and this is Jesus talking, and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will drink any deadly thing, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I'm not advocating snake handling. I'm not advocating putting God to the test. Right? Because what did Jesus say? Don't tempt. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But if the situation arose, we have a promise. Right? If the situation arises, I'm going to lay my hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Because that's what the Word of God says. That's what I'm supposed to do. Right? But there has to be a mind change, I believe. I have a friend and we were talking and he has really bad back problems. And he hurt his back again and he's like, I really hope this doesn't last long. I was like, well, it doesn't have to last long. He said, oh yeah? I'm like, yeah, let's pray for that back. I believe that back can be healed. And he just kind of looked at me, and he's a Christian. He just kind of looked at me and was like, okay, and just kind of changed the subject. You know, is he a Christian? Yes. Has he accepted Jesus Christ in his heart? Yes. But unfortunately, he doesn't believe this promise. I believe it. I believe that when I lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. I believe if someone's being tormented, that we can lay our hands on them and that demon has to flee. I believe, and I truly believe this, if you're struggling with generational curses, cast out the generational curse because you serve the greater one. What demon can stand against the name of Jesus? What power, what principality can stand against the name of Jesus? Not one. I don't care what happened in my past. It is not being passed on to my children. It is not in the name of Jesus. Because we can change things. We don't have to walk this out generation to generation to generation. I can change things through relationship. I can change things because I know the one who changes things. It's awesome. That junk is not following me and my family. It is not. It ends now. Well, it ended a while ago, but I'm not walking in it anymore. So, number 8. Oh, I'm pushing time now. God with us. God with us. Joshua 1:5. No man will be able, this is God speaking to Joshua. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. So I look at Joshua and I say, okay, he had a purpose. That's why God was dealing with him. But I also have a purpose, right? So I think I can take that. Joshua had a covenant, right? I also have a covenant. God spoke to Joshua. God speaks to me. So why can't I have this? He was a man just like me. I believe I have a better covenant. I have the Holy Spirit with me all the time. Why can't I take this? Why not? Because we got to know our covenant. And we got to know our promises. Because if we don't know our covenant, we don't know our promises, we're missing out. We're missing out. Okay. So, I got to verse 5, that's right. All right, so I'm going to read the rest of these verses in the Amplified because I think I like how it gives definitions. And so 2 Peter 1, verse 5, we're going to read through 10. So for this very reason, adding diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue. What's virtue? It's excellence. It's resolution. I like how they put here Christian energy. That's pretty cool. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge. What's knowledge? Just intelligence. It's knowing who God is. It's growing with God. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. That's pretty self-explanatory. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness. What's steadfastness? Patience, endurance. Endurance is a big one. We need to be able to endure. We need to, when something comes against us, not just fold. We have to keep going. We have to, no matter how big the giant seems, we have to have endurance in this. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, that's piety, and in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection, and in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. Because it all comes down to love. But you see the steps there. You know, you see all the qualities here. Pay attention to that. For as these qualities are yours, so every one of those qualities are yours. They abide in you. And increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we don't want to be, correct? Just not knowing anything, not knowing who we are, not knowing what our covenant is. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually, short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Because we don't have to be oblivious. That's the point. We don't have to be oblivious because we have those qualities residing in us. But if you don't know they're there, and if you don't know that you need to utilize them, you're going to miss out. Because of this, verse 10, because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. What a statement. What a statement. I believe we can walk in this. This word was inspired by God. This word was inspired by God. And if God gave the word, we can walk in it. We can walk in it. Do you want to walk in it? That's a question that needs to be asked. Do you want to? I mean, some people think, I don't know. You have to make that choice. Do you want it? I had to make the choice. Do I want it? Yes, I want it. I want it. But what a promise. Because if this word was given from God, we can take it, can we not? We can take it. This is what is available to us. And it's awesome. You know, it is a process, right? I'm not here. I didn't get to this point by a snap of the fingers. There was a big process that has happened, but it's well worth the journey. I can guarantee you it is well worth the journey. It's well worth, because when I know when anxiety tries to come up in my life, I just say no. Nope, not today, or tomorrow, or the next day, because it's going to try and come back, because it thinks it has my number, right? It thinks it knows me. It thinks it knows where it can get me, but it can't get me there anymore, because I know who I am. I know my identity. I know the word says that I'm just anxious for nothing. Doesn't mean I don't care about anything, but there's a difference. There's a difference. So in closing, do we believe? And this is everybody's own personal heart level, right? I'm not going to, but it's, do we believe? Do we believe? Do we believe? It's so important. Do we believe his word? And do we believe his promises? Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you that you are good and that your word is truth and your word is life, Father. Father, I thank you for the seeds that have been planted today. I thank you for the works that you're doing in each and every life in this building, Father. And I thank you for continued opportunities to share your goodness, to share your mercy, to share your love to those around us, Father. We have a job to do, and that is to bring people into the kingdom. And Father, we just thank you that you've given us the abilities. You've given us the promises to walk this life out in fullness. You've given us this divine power to experience all things in our lives. We thank you for this week, Lord. We thank you that you are with us and you will never leave us. And we just thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.